Thank you for that. I did say this morning that I was kind of angry. You know, the Bible says, you know, you can be angry and not sin. It says, be angry and sin not. Hallelujah. You get angry with the devil. Get angry against anything that hinders people from receiving everything that Jesus provided for them. You can actually get angry and not sin. Hallelujah. Amen. And you know, most times when I get a message, the Lord begins to speak to me about something, and begins to bring a message to me that you know, that's kind of bigger than just maybe just one preach, and it's like, and then it just it builds and it comes out over a period of time, and but you just know it's like a, I always have a sense that it's not just for the local church here, but it's a message for the whole body of Christ everywhere. Amen. And back in 2013, and I mean, you might think, well, that's a bit of a ridiculous thing to say, well, we'll touch on that in a wee bit, but but in 2013, back in 2013, the Lord began to speak to me about loosing the strong man. You know, and we've tended traditionally to think of binding the strong man as referring to binding the devil. But the devil's not the strong man. When you think the devil's the strong man, well, what does that place you? Where does that place you? When you start thinking of the devil being the strong man, that means you're the weak man. The devil's not the strong man. We are the strong men and women of faith. We are the victorious ones. I'm just telling you what the Word of God tells you. Amen. We are the victorious ones. We are the overcomers. We are the ones who are declared to be more than conquerors. That is, unless the strong man has been bound in some way. And I tell you, I'm very angry at religion right now. Because religion is the enemy's tool to bind up the strong man. To bind up the strong man. You know, I just heard yesterday that another good friend has gone home to glory before their time. In our 50s, mid-50s. It's an awesome woman of God, a pleasure to be around. Someone who's ministered to many people over the years in her mid-50s has been taken out. So when I read the news yesterday, I reacted in the same way I did the last time I heard similar news a few months ago. I was alone in my study and I was looking at my phone. I just shouted, no, no, no. No. I tell you, I'm getting stirred. We got a letter a few days ago from a sister who is continually tormented by demons. Continually tormented. She lives in this continual torment. She's a believer. She's a child of God. But she lives in this place of continual torment. I mean, I get prayer requests from people asking to pray for things regarding things that I know they've already been given full authority over.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we don't need to get around folks and ask them to, you know, stand with us. Don't ask them to pray for you. Ask them to pray with you.
Yeah.
Say, I'm believing for this. Well, get a couple of people that you know how to believe God and say, will you stand with me? Because this is what I'm believing for. And share with them what you're believing for and get their agreement on that thing. Because the Bible says when a couple of people, just two people will agree on something, then it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But I get prayer requests from people who are desperate, saying, oh, will you pray for me? Pray for me. And I think, but hang on a minute, that's something you've already got authority over. Now, when two of us come together in agreement, that doubles the authority.
Yeah.
One can put 1,000 to flight, the Bible says, but two can put 10,000 to flight.
Yeah.
That's twice as many demons as Legion had. Just two people in agreement. I tell you, something tells me the strong man has been bound.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a righteous war building on the inside of me. I tell you, I don't want to see any more stealing and killing and destroying in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I've had enough of that.
Yeah.
I mean, what does the enemy come to steal? Well, Jesus very clearly told us that when the word goes out, when the preacher preaches the word, that the devil comes to steal that word. Because Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It will keep you free. The enemy does not want you to have that word, because that word is a guarantee of your freedom. And so he comes to steal the word so that he can replace it with another word. A word that binds the strong man. The strong men and women that you and I are designed to be, were created to be. You know, sometimes it can be a bit frustrating to see how few people actually have a hunger for the Word of God. They're actually hungry to hear this Word. Mm-hmm. You know, this uncompromised, undiluted Word. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that just earlier on, this afternoon, and I was thinking, well, what creates real hunger? A famine. A famine. You know, in Amos chapter 11, it says that there would come a time when there would be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. L-O-R-D, capital letters, God's covenant name. Now for us, in new covenant terms, that translates to there would be a famine of hearing the words of Father, of what it means to have Almighty God, God Most High, as your Father. There would be a famine of hearing. Because I tell you, when you begin to hear and to receive and to embrace and to bring into your life the reality and the truth, why didn't Jesus say, I will not leave you as orphans? Orphans are hopeless and helpless in this world. They're just dependent upon circumstances and a change of circumstances. They just hope that one day things might get better. It's almost like the anthem of so much of the people of God, of the church, is I'm nobody's child. Well, I want to tell you tonight, you're somebody's child.
Right.
When I say somebody, I mean somebody. This somebody really is somebody.
Yeah.
What creates hunger? A famine creates hunger. I mean, sometimes it seems the longer we go on, and in this place and bringing this message and proclaiming and declaring the vision, I believe a God-given vision, it's almost like the further away we get from the fulfillment of the vision, it seems to be that way. It can appear to be that way. You know what I'm talking about? I want to tell you, this message will change your life.
Yeah.
It will radically alter the way you do life.
Yeah.
And yet, so few people want to hear it. That tells me they're not hungry enough yet. But I tell you, the days are coming when famine. People are going to realize, I need that word. So when you start to think that way, it looks like we're getting further away. That's when you have to do what David did and encourage yourself in the Lord. Remember Joseph? You know how Joseph started out? He started out as a prophet to his family. He showed up with his father and his brothers, and they began to tell him what the Lord had shown him. That's a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He starts out as a prophet to his family. And you know that they really wanted to hear what he had to say, don't you? In fact, they wanted to hear what he had to say so much that when they got the first opportunity, they took him and they threw him into a pit.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the prophet's gone to the pit. And it looks like the vision is going downhill fast. But see, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Because when you are holding on to what God has said, when you have received what God has said into your heart, into that hidden place, into that place where the enemy can't touch it, because the enemy comes to steal the word before it reaches there. I'll tell you, once it's in your spirit, he has no access to your spirit. Did you hear what I said? I said he has no access to your spirit.
That's right.
And so it looks for Joseph as if the vision that he's received and that which he shared and that which he prophetically brought to his family, it looks like it's going in the wrong direction. But there's something operating here. There's favor operating here. Hallelujah. Because it doesn't matter how it looks to you or to anybody else.
Yeah.
If you hold that word in your heart, God's favor will begin to function on your behalf. Because if you honor God, that will release favor in your life.
Yeah.
If you honor your father, that will release favor in your life.
Yeah.
And somehow or other, it comes into the heart of one of Joseph's brothers to say, well, maybe we shouldn't leave him in that pit. Maybe we should just get him back out of the pit and get him out of here somewhere. And they see a caravan of merchants or traders passing by, and they call them over and they say, look, what should you get us for this goal? And they pack them off and they think, well, that's the last we've seen of him. That's the last we'll have to listen to his prophetic word. Amen. And the prophet goes from the pit down to the slave market in Egypt, where he's sold to a man called Potiphar. He's a slave. It's not looking very good. It looks like the word that God has spoken and the message that that's been deposited within him and the vision that he's had is getting further away from fulfillment. And then while he's there as a slave in Potiphar's house, as a servant in Potiphar's house, but favor's still working.
Yeah.
Come on now. You see, he's not letting go of what God has said, even though circumstances are looking pretty bad, pretty dire, very negative, and he's looking as if everything's going the wrong way. He's still standing, believing that what God has said is what God will do. And because of that, and he's honouring his father, because he's honouring his father, favour's working for him.
Yes, amen.
He's got so much favour on him that Potiphar's wife takes a wee fancy to him. Tries to hook him and pull him into an illicit affair. And he rejects it. And she cries rape. And Potiphar has him slung into the jail, into the prison. So the prophet's gone from a prophet to the pit, to Potiphar's house, to the prison. You know what? It looks like things are going even further away.
Mm-hmm.
From their fulfillment. But he's still honouring his father, and because he's honouring his father and he's honouring the word that his father has deposited in his heart, favour's still working for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now to everybody on the outside, he's just somebody in the jail. Got what he deserved. That's the end of him. Probably die in there. No. You see, when you take hold of the word of God and you refuse to let go of the word of God, you can't die, because it's the word of God you live by.
Yeah.
Real life is released from the inside out when you take hold of God's word and refuse to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And before you know it, he's gone from the prison to the palace.
Mm-hmm.
And what looked like a negative every step that looked like he was going in the negative wrong direction was actually taking him closer to this point.
That's right.
Somebody help me.
That's right, yeah.
Because while he's in the prison, he gets to interpret the dreams of a couple, because he ends up in the same prison as Pharaoh's, a couple of Pharaoh's servants. And so while he's there, he interprets the dreams that these men have, because he has a prophetic gift. And then Pharaoh has a dream. And one of the guys has been released back into Pharaoh's house and says, well, I know a fellow down in the prison that can interpret your dream. And they bring him into the palace. Hallelujah. He goes from the palace to prime minister. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to second man in the world superpower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Somebody help me. And if it hadn't been for all of these what appeared to be negative steps, if it hadn't been that it looked like everything was going downhill, if it didn't look as if everything was going down the Swanee, then I'll tell you, he would never have made it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that looked like a negative step was actually a positive step that was taking him closer to the fulfillment, because a famine was coming.
Mm-hmm.
I said a famine was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And God revealed to his man, to his prophet, the strategy to survive that famine.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because of that famine, the prophetic vision that he had shared with his family was fulfilled. Somebody help me. Glory to God. I want to tell you, there's a time coming when people are going to start realizing they need to hear this word. Because it's desperate times out there. Everything's is at breaking point. All of the systems that have been put in place to try that have. I was talking to a sister this morning. She said to me, she said, you know, she was talking about her pastor and his wife that they go to India now twice a year. She was saying, you know, and they see lots of healing. She said, much more healings than we see over here. I said, that's because these folks haven't got all of the options. They hear that Jesus heals the sick, they grab that with both hands. They don't have any other options. They don't have any other systems in place. I want to tell you, there's lots of systems in place, but they're at breaking point. And a lot of the religious hogwash that's getting tossed around there, they ain't going to cut it. Because when the word's been compromised and diluted and altered and changed to fit people's experience rather than come on somebody. I tell you, people are going to start getting hungry soon. You need to store up this word. You need to store up this word on the inside of you, because it might look as everything's going the wrong direction, but you need to understand it looks that way, but it's actually taking you closer to the fulfillment. Hallelujah. Does everyone hear this message today?
Yeah.
The title of this message is Be Loosed. This word that's coming tonight is declaring, we're just starting out on it tonight, we'll come back to it probably several times, but it's declaring be loosed to the strong man on the inside of you. Strong man that you were designed to be. Strong man, don't be offended, ladies, when I call you a strong man. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus says, how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Who knows, in the Word of God, the house often refers to the church. Paul said this is the house of God, it's the church of the living God. I believe that for far too long, many of the strong men and women of faith have been bound. And that's why the house has been plundered by the thief who comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, access into the house of God because the strong men and women of faith have been bound. Bound by religious nonsense. Bound by tradition. By experience-based doctrine and theology. Because of that, the church has been stripped of much of its power. I said it this morning. I'm going to keep saying it because I believe it with all of my heart. When Jesus said it, recorded in Luke 10:19, I give you authority over to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. If he didn't mean what he said, as I said this morning, that's one of the most cruel statements I've ever heard in my life. That's, somebody help me. I ain't quitting. I ain't giving up on what he said until everybody's experience matches that word. I ain't taking God's word down to match anybody's experience. I'm believing that Kobo Shakab, I'm believing for everybody's experience to come in line with that word, where there's nothing can touch you, nothing can harm you or hurt you, because you know that you have been given authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You don't call people up and ask them to pray for you anymore. You just call them up and say, will you stand with faith and faith with me? I get calls like that. From people, I get calls like that from people in this church, and I'm more than happy to agree. Hallelujah. We just do it over the phone, blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Church has been stripped of its power. I believe when Jesus said that about the strong man, I believe he was teaching a principle that reveals how the church has been weakened. And when Jesus reveals something like that, it's so that we can do something to turn that mess around. Amen. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45, it says, Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, listen to this, There's a lot of people who were born again. You never shut the door. You never shut the door. You never replaced everything that left with this word, with this message. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty and swept and put in order. Then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. How do you know a house is available? You see, I like too late sign, I said. That's why Jesus said, do not let. Don't you ever put a don't let that devil ever come back to your house and find a too late sign outside. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. When he comes, he finds it empty and swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And listen to this. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. I've seen people who get saved and their lives get worse. Mm-hmm. And religion says, oh, yes, that's just the trials. That's just the cross you have to bear. How about I tell you, my Saviour bore a cross.
Yeah.
So that I could wear a crown.
Yeah.
I said, my Saviour bore the cross. So that I can wear a crown. Mm-hmm. Your Saviour bore a cross so that you could wear a crown.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't care if that sounds religious or not. I hope it doesn't. I hope that just puts religion back in its box. Hallelujah. Screws down the lid.
Yeah.
Buries it. 6 foot under. Hallelujah. How could it be that someone gets born again? Someone becomes a child of God. Someone gets removed from orphanhood back into a place where, of relationship with Almighty God as their Heavenly Father. And the last day of that man is worse than the first. Something not right there. I'm going to tell you, there's no spirit more unclean than a religious spirit. I tell you, there's nothing worse than a person in that condition thinking this is just the way it's meant to be. I'm just content with my lot. Oh. There's no more spirit. There's no spirit more unclean than a religious spirit. And he's got plenty of cronies he can bring in with him. And all they'll do is just bind that person up in chains. So they're helpless and hopeless against all of the stuff that Jesus said he'd been given authority over. To drive it out. To say, no, you ain't coming in here. I love that video we just watched. But I mean, to be honest, you look at it and you see everything. You see the whole, everything that you would probably see in a situation like that in the context of the church. The wife's going, the daughter's broken. She's still, even though the guy's back from the dead, she's still under the stuff. Did you notice that? But that young man said, hang on a minute. He just stayed in it. It's not religious. It's not very super spiritual. Didn't say he fasted and prayed. It didn't say he done any. It didn't say he was on the floor screaming out to God or anything else. It didn't say, come on. He just spoke to the body and said, Dad, you're not dying today. Somebody! He just said, hang on a minute. I don't believe this is the will of God. I don't believe this is the way it's meant to be. I'm going to stand and oppose this. I'm not coming into agreement with this. I'm going to stand in agreement with God's word. Hallelujah. Somebody. Man, them religious spirits, they just love to be squatters. They love to be squatters in the house that God created for himself. Do you not know that you are the temple? Why did Paul say that? Because obviously some people didn't know. Obviously they'd forgotten. Or they weren't aware, or they weren't listening to the reality and the truth of that and what that meant for them. Remember when Jesus went into the synagogue and the unclean spirit began to cry out, Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says, then he went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. and they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And then they were all amazed. So that they questioned, I love it. For years I just love reading this because then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this?" I like doctrine like that. Doctrine's a doing word, you know that, don't you? Doctrine is a doing word. It's not about sitting around getting a fat head. I said it's not about getting a fat head. It's not about filling your head full of more religious baloney. With five syllable words. People that spout them out, people go, "Oh, Lord, you must know what he's talking about." The two old carers coming out of church, what about you? It's good today. Oh yeah, I said, bad man. Somebody else says, "What was he talking about?" "Oh, I have no idea, but man." "I have no idea, but it was good. I didn't understand it. It must have been good." "Oh, it was very deep." Shakaba. "What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." That's the kind of doctrine we need in the streets of Stornoway right now. That's the kind of authority people need to know that they have when they become a child of God. I read that letter the other day. I thought, the sister needs to know she's got authority here. She's crying out to people all over the place, asking them to pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. She's got the authority. It's, the buck stops with her. She needs to say no. I don't know about you, but I've had enough of seeing the strong men and women who God created in his image to have dominion in the earth. I've had enough of watching them being bound by chains of religious weakness. Mm-hmm. I've had enough of seeing the church plundered of its inheritance. I've seen enough of the church being robbed of its place of authority and blessing in the earth. Because until we get hold of the authority we've been given, our ability to release blessing in the earth is cut off. Because you need to be blessed before you can be a blessing. Amen. You need to be healed before you can heal. Heal people, heal people. Free people, free people. Bound people, bind people. I've seen plenty of that. People who are afraid spread more fear. We're here to do good. Just like Jesus, we're here to bring healing to all the oppressed. We're not here to be the oppressed. We're here to heal the oppressed.
Yeah.
To set at liberty the oppressed. And I want to declare, not just over you here this evening, I want to declare over Stornoway, be loosed. Yeah. I want to declare over the church on this island, be loosed!
Yeah.
Be loosed! Be loosed! Be loosed! We're here to destroy the works of the devil. We're not here to be destroyed by his works. We're here to destroy his works.
Right.
I want to proclaim that tonight, not just over you here, but I want to proclaim that over the church on this island. Be loosed! Be loosed! Be loosed! Jesus came to demonstrate the authority that belongs to us as the family of God. To release us to be the strong men and women of faith who are blessed to be a blessing in the earth. Be loosed! If you feel something stirring, just let it go. Let it fly. Some things have been served notice on tonight. Hallelujah. This building is no longer for rent. I'm never going to let you do what you want to do. Hallelujah. You ain't going to have free access into my life. I love it when Jesus closed the book. Luke chapter 4. Just right after he'd said, I have the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. To say that, to bind up and to heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty the oppressed. To announce the year of when the free favors of God profusely abound. Be loosed! He shouted it. And they were really happy to hear that word. They were so happy to hear it, they said, let's kill him. They were... And he said, right now, this word is fulfilled in your hearing. You see, religion doesn't mind a yesterday word or a tomorrow word, but religion gets stirred when it hears a now word. Come on now, I want to tell you, there's a lot of pulpits. If you stood up and start saying this is a now word, boom, 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 the big guns come out. Well, that's when it's time to clear the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because that's just nothing but religious spirits reacting.
Yeah.
That's just nothing but the chains that are wrapped around the strong men and women of faith that are making noises. That's all that is. That's just the noise you're hearing, the static you're hearing is just the enemy trying to tighten up the chains. Trying to change the combination on the lock because you just hit it. You just discovered it. Be loosed. Hallelujah. And the Lord began to speak to me about this loosing the strong man. This is where he brought me. This is where I just got so much out of this in Colossians chapter 1. I'll just do a couple of minutes and then we'll leave it. You alright?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Why? I hope you know why you're alright.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. We're not praying for you that bunion will be healed or anything else. We're praying for you that God will give you complete knowledge of his will. What's his will? That you walk in the fullness of the salvation and the healing and the deliverance and the prosperity that Jesus purchased for you at the cross. And to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power so you will have all the endurance and the patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking. Say always thanking. Faith always gives thanks because faith believes that it's already received. What do you do when you receive something? If you get any manners, you immediately say, thank you. Thank you. Many years ago, my prayers became thank you prayers. I very rarely pray a prayer now that's not a thank you prayer. I'm not going, oh God, please, please, but when I get into that state, I know something's far wrong. I need to repent fast and get back to thank you prayers. Yeah. I've slipped away somewhere. I've just been cast adrift. We'll get that in a minute. We'll get that far. I just let go of it. My anchor just shifted. All my prayers are thank you prayers. But if I feel something coming on or something, I just begin to thank him for what he's already done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I ain't asking him to do nothing. I'm thanking him for what he's done.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Because when I thank him for what he's done will begin to manifest, will come into manifestation in the earth, and his kingdom will come and his will be done on the earth as it's already been provided for in heaven. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Always thanking the Father. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us. Hey, it's not something we're waiting for. He's transferred us. You want to get the tense. He's transferred us. He's already done it into the kingdom of his dear son who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones and kingdoms and rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all, who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth. How? By means of Christ's blood on the cross. Is that awesome? Or is that awesome? I mean, you could just stop there, but you can't because there's more. It doesn't end there. He goes on and says this. Oh, yeah, what's that? See this? When God started speaking of this and I was reading this, it was going off in me like fireworks, man. It was just like, this includes you who were once far away from God. Hey, that's you and me. That's all of us. You were his enemies. Yeah, I admit it. Separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Remember, evil thoughts will always end in evil actions. Yet now he has reconciled you. He has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result. As a result. Who knows when you want to know who won a football game? You don't want to switch on the telly after the game's over and hear the half-time score. Because anything can happen after that. Your team could have been winning at half-time and got thrashed before the game was over. You want to hear the result. You want to hear the end result. Come on, somebody. Well, he says here, as a result, that's the end result. This ain't a half-time score. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence. Wow, well, that's awesome enough. But, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Now you read that through an old covenant filter, you're going to struggle with that. In fact, you ain't going to be able to deal with that at all. But that's the reality. That's the reality of where you've been brought to. That's the reality of where you stand right now. You are right there in the presence of Almighty God, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. What accomplished that miracle? Well, we just read it, the blood of Jesus. Amen. Someone goes for tests. It's not the tests that they really want, it's the results they want. The doctor says, you'll get the results in 2 weeks. 2 weeks? Well, you've had the test. No, I don't care about the test. It's not the test I wanted, it's the results. Come on, eh? When you sat your exams, one of the worst things about sitting, whatever they call them now, I don't know what they call them now, but by my time it was O-levels and higher. And there was these weeks and weeks between sitting the exam and getting the results. Everybody was counting the days waiting for the results, because for a lot of people, a lot of the future plans were based upon the results. Well, what do I tell you? You passed the exam. Jesus passed it for you. Hallelujah. You got an A+. I want to tell you the results of all the tests have come back clear. The The game is over and you're a winner. You're on the winning team. Your team has won. That's the end result. There's absolutely nothing now between you and your Heavenly Father that could ever hinder your relationship as you live out your life, simply exercising the authority that is yours as a son or a daughter of Almighty God, a strong men and women of faith who go everywhere doing good and ministering healing to the oppressed. Can someone give me a big loud
amen?
Amen. Amen. This is where our strength comes from. This is where our strength comes from. We no longer have anything to prove. We no longer have to put on a performance to try and appease God or impress Him or anything else. There's absolutely nothing that we can do, and I'll finish with this. There's absolutely nothing that we can do to make God love us more than He already loves us. Have you got that settled? Do you understand that's the result of what Jesus accomplished at the cross? That's the result of what He purchased with His blood, is that there's nothing that you and I could ever do to make Him love us more, and there's nothing that gets better. There's nothing that we could ever do that would make Him love us less than He does right now. And if you start believing anything else, it will begin to bind you up with chains of guilt and shame and condemnation and weakness and hopelessness and helplessness and uselessness and unworthiness and all of the other stuff that religion, that the devil employs religion to bring to pass in the lives of those that God created to be the strong men and strong women of faith. And He binds them up, and then He comes and He plunders their house. And the only thing that the secular media has to report on the church is the church making more crazy decisions to accommodate for more weakness and more sin and more failure. That's all they've got to report. And even they are shaking their heads going, what is going on? We thought the church stood for something. Do you know, that's the revelation that I think I said this morning that makes our faith work. My Father loves me. You know what? He loves me just because He loves me. What? I don't know about that, Donnie. You know why He loves me? Because He loves His Son. He loves Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe that. Of course I believe that. Of course He loves Jesus. Well, He loves me because He loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. And He loves me just the same way He loves Jesus.
Yes.
And He sees me just the same way as He sees Jesus.
Yes.
And that's never going to change, and that cannot be altered, because that's an established fact. That's an established reality, because that's where I'm already standing, in His presence, blameless, without a single fault. That will give you confidence not to run out and fool with sin. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. You know what? If you do, it will. But you'll still beat yourself up, and you'll still end up with bruises and cuts and scars that you don't ever need to experience. But grace will still abound. He'll still be there. The door will still be open, and He'll still be waiting for you. And when He sees you even begin to make a half-hearted response to Him, He'll come running to you and fall on you.
Yeah.
If you still don't get the message, you'll probably end up back down in the pig pen again before you know it. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But He loves me because He chose to love me.
Mm-hmm.
He chose to remove every hindrance, every obstacle to that love that He has for me.
Mm-hmm.
He did it at the cross. Somebody help me. That revelation is what makes our faith work. That revelation is what helps us to stand up on the inside and say, hang on a minute, I've got authority.
Yeah.
I've got the same authority in the earth that Jesus demonstrated. He came to show us how it was done. He said, this is how a man under the anointing of the Holy Spirit functions and operates in the earth. Let's start up together. I've had enough. I have to. When I read that yesterday, I read that letter already. I got news a few months ago. No! No. I tell you, the days are coming when this message, people are going to be hungry for it.
Mm-hmm.
You need to make sure it's established in you. Because you're exactly what they need. The message you're carrying is exactly what they're looking for. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Make sure you give it to them with both barrels. Hallelujah. Amen. Beautifully packaged in the unconditional love of God. Hallelujah. Deliver it with a smile. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Grab their hands and say, I'm standing. No, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to get down where you are and try and lift. No. I'm going to stand in agreement with you, and you're going to come up into the place of agreement right now, and we're going to stand together, and you're going to experience that which already belongs to you.
Yeah.
Becoming a reality in your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Unquestionably. No doubt about it. Not some he does and some he doesn't. Not maybe he will or maybe he won't. Not if it be your will. None of that nonsense. We know what his will is.
Amen.
And we're inviting his will to be done. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy wrap you up in chains. We'll come back to this because there's so much in this for you to know. I invite you go into Colossians chapter 1. Start there. Just go in there. Read it over and over and over. Read it in a few different translations. Get it down on the inside of you. Ask the Holy Spirit to let the fireworks go off on the inside of you. Hallelujah. It'll establish you in something. If you need to just get that revelation. I'm standing in His presence. I have access to His presence where I stand without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation. I'm standing there blameless as far as the Father is concerned without a single fault. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word to us. I thank you that you've promised that we have authority in the earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you came to restore our dominion in the earth. That we're no longer under, but we're over. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray that we'd stand up on the inside tonight, Father. Lord, just like that young man in that video we watched tonight, Father. That video that the world couldn't wait to broadcast. That message that the world couldn't wait to broadcast. That young man who just said, hang on a minute. This is the way it appears. This is the way it looks. Everybody else right now is going off to organize a funeral, but no. I'm saying no. I'm saying no. He began to speak to his father, whose heart had quit beating 45 minutes previously. You know what? After 45 minutes, even if they managed to get his heart beating again, he shouldn't be in the condition he's in right now. Because there wasn't no natural miracle. There wasn't no natural... got lucky kind of moment. No, it was a supernatural intervention because someone said, no, death isn't the end. Death isn't the end. I ain't letting go just because it appears like he's dead. I ain't starting to pick the hymns for the funeral. I'm saying to you, Daddy, you're not going to die today.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. You're coming back to be my daddy. You're coming back to be the husband to my mother that you promised to be. When you said, till death us do part, you weren't talking about in your 30s or your 40s. Oh, hallelujah. Anyway, I don't know where they got that stuff from, anyway. I've never had it in any wedding ceremony I've ever done. I ain't intending never including it in one either. Where did they go? Hallelujah. None of that richer or poorer business either. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, I pray. Let these truths be just established deep down within us, Father. Let them become the bedrock, the foundation of our lives. This life that you've called us to live by faith. Lord, so that everything that we do will bring honour and glory to your name, to the name of our Father. Hallelujah. So people will shake their heads and go, who in the world, whose kids are they? Hallelujah. We'll be able to tell them. Hallelujah. That You didn't just do it for us, but you did it for them. That you brought everything. You brought everyone and everything into this place of reconciliation. And all we have to do is believe that. And stand in it. And begin living in the truth of it. For your glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Can I just share something really quickly? Because I think I believe this revelation just now that I've received.